Burslem, reel number one. Now, before you joined the Flying Corps, you were living in Trinidad. What were your reactions to the outbreak of war when you were living there?
Well, I was a patriotic British boy, and and I thought that any enemy of England was an enemy of mine, and I wanted to be in it. I was only 13 years old at the time.
Well, at that age, it would be quite impractical for you to have joined up.
Yes.
At what stage did it become possible for you to come over to England?
When I was 16 years old in 1917, I had grown over a foot, and I was 6'2" tall. And there was a ship going to England with 8 vacant berths, and the merchants paid for the berths and sent 8 young fellows who wanted to join the army over to England, and my father allowed me to go.
I was going to ask you, how did your parents react to you leaving for the war at such an early age? Were they expecting you to go into one of the armed services?
No, my father gave me my birth certificate and told me to do some kind of war work, like munitions or land army, going to land. But when I got to England, I never showed my birth certificate to anybody and told them I was 3 years older than what I really was.
Did you have any inhibitions about, as it were, going rather against your father's wishes on the subject and his expectations?
None at all. I was just a patriotic youth, and I wanted to go, wanted to be in it.
Now, when you got to England, you volunteered for the army. What happened when you got to the recruiting centre?
It was at New Scotland Yard, as a matter of fact, and I just went up and saw with the 8 of us, we just went up and saw the fatherly sergeant and told him we wanted to join the army, and he got us in, he put us in.
No questions about age or?
No, because I entered my age as 19 years old.
And they took your word for it and didn't ask to see your birth certificate?
No, none at all.
Then you went straight into the artist rifle, or
yes.
Did anything else happen?
No, being volunteers, we had a choice of what service or regiment we would like to go to. And I selected for the artist rifles, as the other fellows were going into the artists too.
At this stage, had you had any thoughts about going into the Flying Corps?
No, none at all. None at all.
Now, when you got to the basic training camp at Gidea Park, how did you react to your first experiences of army life?
Well, I didn't like it very much, because the marching was so strenuous, and I found that it numbed and cramped the muscles on my thighs and calves, and until they were hurt very much indeed. And after, I stood it for a week, and after a week I reported ill, and went before the doctor, and he expected somebody with a pain in the tummy or something, swinging the lead, as it was called, and he asked me, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, ankylostomiasis, sir. And he said, good God, what's that? I told him that just before leaving Trinidad, the Rockefeller Foundation had tested me, was testing the population out there, and I had submitted to the test and taken the remedy for it.
What were the tests for?
For hookworm, ankylostomiasis, hookworm. And when I submitted my specimens again, it proved positive, and I knew that I still had it. But I left I left Trinidad before I could have another one, and so I was debilitated when I was at Goodyear Park.
Now, how did this discovery affect your service life?
Well, it made me I wasn't strong enough for it, really, to do the work of in the infantry with all that marching, the strenuous work in the infantry. So, and it was then they sent me to hospital, and they gave me the cure for hookworm, and I was cured, and then went back to the regiment, and I found that I could stand the drill after that.
How was it then at this stage that you secured a transfer into the Royal Flying Corps?
Well, I saw what life in the infantry was like, so I thought that it would be better for me if I didn't do that kind of work, and as they didn't form fours or do anything in the Royal Flying Corps, I changed my papers for a commission in the Royal Flying Corps.
I'm still not clear why it was the RFC and not another branch of the service.
Well, in the Artist Rifles was an officer producing unit, and when you joined, you filled out what service you wanted to have a commission in, and I thought I'd like to have a commission in the infantry, and I found that the people for the infantry served very much longer in the Artist Rifles than people in the Royal Flying Corps, and so after I was had my experience with all that marching, I thought I'd like to get out of the Artist Rifles as soon as possible and change my papers for a commission in the Royal Flying Corps, because the people going to the Royal Flying Corps left the artists as soon as possible.
Now, after you joined the Royal Flying Corps, you spent a few weeks at the School of Military Aviation at Reading on ground training, yeah, before being posted to your flying training squadron, number 47, at Waddington.
Yeah.
What were your first reactions to flying? How did you take to it? What were your earliest experiences?
Well, I can remember going up in an aeroplane for the first time, and it was a Morris Farnham Shorthorn or a Rumpety, and the instructor took me up and taxied out and got ready for taking off, and then took off. The aeroplane got faster and faster and then got into the air. And my first impressions was seeing the ground leaving me and getting further and further away as the aeroplane got higher and higher.
Mm-hmm.
And but I soon got over that, and took to flying, but I was a very slow pupil.
Why was that?
I suppose I was a little bit dense or something like that, and because I took 8 hours to go solo, whereas the average was about 3 hours. And I knew of one person who took only 20 minutes to go solo.
When you were learning to fly, do you think that the difficulties which you encountered were physical or psychological?
Psychological, I thought, because I can remember after I had left Waddington and gone to Turnhouse onto faster machines, I was taken up in a Navro and by the instructor and put into a spin, and the instructor had told me what to do to get it out, but when I saw the world turning round on an axis directly below me, I absolutely froze on the controls, and I couldn't do anything. I was so fascinated watching the ground get lower and lower, and I couldn't do anything at all. And after a while, the instructor, he was swearing and cursing, and he pulled out. He overcame the pressure on the controls that I had on them, and he got us out about 500 feet off the ground.
What were the consequences of that particular incident?
Well, the instructors thought that I wasn't fit to fly those fast machines, which were the elementary machines for scouts, single-seater fighters. And so I was sent back to Waddington to fly heavier machines, two-seaters, and DH-9s, and other machines like that.
Fine. After you found that you had these difficulties flying the scouts and returned to Waddington to fly what were fundamentally bombing, mainly bombing aircraft, returning to these heavier airplanes, did you find that your feelings of apprehension about flying were still with you?
I think that they were with me subconsciously, because I can remember one day, one special day, that my instructor was up in the air with me, and he told me to do certain things, turns and banks and other kind of things, and I found that I could do them very well indeed. And then when we came down, he congratulated me on my flying, and said that I had improved very well, wonderfully. And from then on, I found I had no fear of flying at all, that I could do things, that I could fly, in other words.
Were there any actual examples of things you tried after this which you wouldn't have dreamed of doing before?
Oh, yes. I'd spin and loop and do any airplane that was loopable. In fact, I was so confident that when I was transferred to the squadron that was flying the service machines, the DH-9, I spun a DH-9, and I'd never heard of anybody else doing it, but I just did it.
What happened?
It It was a very jerky turn, not like the usual easy spins, but they jerked and dropped like a stone. And the first turn, I centralized the controls, but it took two more turns to get out. And if there had been another turn, I would have been into the ground.
Did you have any other unpleasant experiences while you were flying DH-9s?
Oh yes, I took off one day and got to about 200 feet, and one of the magnetos that was used to fire the one bank of three cylinders on the DH-9 cut out. And the engine was only firing on the other three. And instead of putting my nose down and landing straight ahead before me, I put my nose down slightly and made a circuit of the aerodrome and landed safely. But everybody was staring up into the air to see who that damn fool was. And the ambulance was following me right round the ground.
That was a-